Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us, we're delighted to have you here today. Thank you for being here for our Sunday school hour. And I still see folks coming in through the parking lot, and so that's a blessing. And we're excited about a wonderful, wonderful day in the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. Glad you're here. Listen, we went ahead and actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I had planned on teaching today, and so it's great to have the Ewens with us today. And we were here yesterday and just talking about some things. And, you know, we're doing Biblical Prophecy Month this month of July. And just got to talking to Brother Rusty a little bit. And I said, you know, why don't we just let you have the Sunday school hour? And, of course, he's going to speak tonight. But I said, why don't we just let you have the Sunday school hour? And so he's going to do that. And so I think this is going to help us a lot concerning our Biblical Prophecy Month. And so we're delighted to have them here today. So I said that to say this, we made out a generic handout today. And so there is a place for you to jot down some notes while he's teaching today. And also at the bottom of the handout, and this is for all of those who maybe aren't in our class all the time, but on the bottom of the handout, there's a little section there for you to write down your prayer request. And there's a little perforated line above that. And so if you want to write down a special request of prayer, and then you can just tear that off at the perforation. And then you can turn those into me, or you can turn them into the information desk throughout the day, and they'll make sure I get those before I leave tonight. And I had the opportunity this morning just to lay those out on the floor and pray over your prayer slips this morning, and pray by name, pray for you, and pray for your family members. And I'm glad I can do that. I love to do that. I heard somebody this week, I heard said that intercessory prayer is such an important part of the church. And one of the reasons is because intercessory prayer can go where we cannot go. Intercessory prayer can go behind the bars, the jail bars. Intercessory prayer can go into the ICU unit. Intercessory prayer can find your child that is wayward and away from the Lord, maybe not even in this state. Intercessory prayer can go into their home. Intercessory prayer can just, you know what? Intercessory prayer can make its entrance right into the Oval Office. It can. Now, we can't. If we tried to go in the Oval Office today, they would turn us around. But intercessory prayer can do things that we cannot do. So write down your prayer request, and you can turn those in throughout the day, and we'll try to make those an issue of prayer, a matter of prayer. But we're glad you're here today. It's good to see some of our folks back, and I know we're in the heat of we're in the heat, all right, that's for sure. But we're in the heat of vacation season, and so we've got families every week, and that's the case this week as well. We've got families that are away, And we get it. I mean, folks need to get away a little bit. And so, anyway, you pray for those that are away, and we hope they have a good time of relaxation. Hope they'll be back soon. And so, anyway, how many of you have a special request of prayer, and you'd signify that by an uplifted hand today? So a lot of needs around the room. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And so let's do that together today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the privilege to be back at Calvary. And God, we're thankful for a good week this week. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you for your long suffering. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us. And Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You don't give up on us. Lord, thank you for your promise of forgiveness. And God, we just thank you. Lord, you're a good God. You're a wonderful God. And we praise you for your holiness. Lord, we're so mindful. We think about what Hannah said. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. And so we praise you today. And Lord, we pray that throughout the course of this day that your precious Son would be lifted up, that Jesus would be exalted, that he would be the one that increases today, not a preacher, not a performer. Lord, I pray that Jesus would be the one that, Lord, is focused on. And Lord, I pray that by the end of this day that our hearts and minds and our attention will be on him. And I pray that we'll go home not so much saying a lot about a sermon or a song or But God, I pray that we'll go home tonight saying, what a Savior, what a God we serve. And Lord, we're so thankful for missionaries. We're so thankful for the wonderful missionaries that we support at Calvary. And Lord, we're so thankful that you brought the Gewins to us today, Brother Rusty and Miss Rhonda. And God, we're thankful for their burden, their vision. And Lord, very unique, very unique. Lord, in trying to reach the Jewish community, very difficult. And we pray for them, Lord, today that you would anoint them, that you would equip them and protect them. And God, give them what they need to try to reach your chosen people, the people that you love, Lord, but people that are sometimes very, very difficult to try to reach with the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our discussions today, and I pray that the Word of God would come alive in our hearts and our minds, and just give us a love for the Word of God, a hunger for the Word of God, and we pray the Holy Spirit would have liberty to move in a great, great way. I pray that others would make their way into Sunday school, and then, Lord, I pray that you would bring many in for the 11 o'clock service and the service tonight. And we pray all that's done would please you and honor you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Well, it is great to have the Gewins with us today. Actually, Brother Rusty and I went to school together, went to college together. And we had not connected. We had not saw one another in 30 years. Now, we were friends in college, but you know, when you leave college, a lot of times you just sort of lose track, you know, with each other, and you get busy in ministry, and that was the case with Brother Rusty and I. We had not seen each other for a long, long time, and of all places in the world, my wife and I were in Jerusalem, and we ran into Brother Rusty, and so, you know, you better be careful what you do. You never know who you're going to run into, and it may be here, it may be on the other side of the world. And so we're glad to have them here today. They are serving the Lord in missions. Their kids are serving in the country of Thailand. And so anyway, he'll probably tell you about all of that. He's going to take a little while today, and he's going to speak in our class and maybe even give you an opportunity to ask a question or two if you'd like to do that. And so anyway, Brother Rusty, it's great to have you all today. You come on.
But anyhow, Boker Tov to you. Boker Tov. Say it. Boker Tov. It's like broke your toe. Boker Tov. That's good morning in Hebrew. So you learned a Hebrew word. Say it again. Boker Tov. So when you see a Jewish person, those of you that are going to the trip, you'll be able to greet them in the morning and say Boker Tov. Boker Tov. Mashlimha, how you doing, and so forth. And so these are some of the common terms that might help you. And we'll interject a few here, but I'm Rusty Gewin, my wife Rhonda. And we've been married for 30 years just a few days ago. 30 years. You know, a lot of people have been married for 30 years, but just not to the same woman. But I've been married to her. But 30 years, and we're blessed with four kids, kids serving in Thailand as missionaries, and beautiful grandkids. I got Lord willing, at the end of here in a few days, we're going to have a fourth granddaughter. And so we got two and two, grandsons and two granddaughters soon, and we're just blessed people to be able to do what we get to do, and we serve the Jewish people around the world, and we lived in Israel. If you added up the night slept in Israel, it's somewhere between 6 and 7 years. We lived there about four. Now I go back 2 or 3 months at a time. I've already been to Israel twice this year, February, March, for 1 month, hosting people, helping people, and then to Thailand for a month, and then came back for 2 weeks and turned around and went back to Israel again for a month. And so it's been busy so far, but praise the Lord that He watches over us and keeps us safe. And those of you that are going, you know, I claimed the verse years ago, and it's one thing to claim it, and it's another thing to believe it. But when we went to Israel, 22, my wife and four children, I served as an assistant pastor for 6 years. And then at a missions conference, I believe that that one day, that if Lord would allow it, I wanted to go to the mission field to be able to say that I did my part. And so at that missions conference, when the message was preached by actually Terry Angel, some of you all may know who that name is, I don't know, he preached a sermon, and I'm like, the Lord did something in my heart. I said, you know, I think, you know, we wanted to wait till the kids got older and they got out of the house and we'd go do a mission work, so to speak. But that wasn't the Lord's plan. And we said, I don't know where God's exactly calling us. And it was during that process of time that after I made a surrender to do whatever God had in regard to the missions, and the story goes that over a two-week period after the pastor, dear friend of mine that I worked for as an assistant pastor for 6 years, he said, Brother Rusty, he said, let's do this. He said, I'm going out of town. He said, in 2 weeks, let's meet back in my office and see what God does in these 2 weeks about where you're going to go. So it was during that time, rubbing elbows with my missions director, and during that time, I was just seeking. I knew that God was calling me somewhere. I just didn't know what he was doing. I can't explain it. Doesn't make human sense. You know, things that make sense to humans, you wonder if God's in it. It didn't make sense. I didn't understand it, but I knew that God was working. And so in that 2 weeks that we were praying, during that 2 weeks, God began to open up doors about the Jewish people. I was like, you know, in our circle, so to speak, I never really had met anybody that had went to the Jewish people. And I said, well, I could go all the way through Bible college. I don't know if you remember this, Brother Pope, but there used to be a man up in Chicago. His name, Don the Shoe Guy. The people that Howells Anderson College guys would go to Chicago and get shoes from Don because he sold floor shine shoes. I don't know if you ever bought a pair from him, but most college students did. And I worked for Sam Sprunger on the side, which was one of our professors at Howells Anderson, and he gave me a job working in a complex where it was mostly Jewish people in Munster, Indiana. And I'm like, you know, I'm a young Christian. I mean, I got saved March 19th, 1990, and I was in Bible college September of 1990, and I was green. But I was older green. I was in the 20, you know, I don't know what, I was 21 or so. I can't remember exactly, but long story short is I was all with all these Jewish people, and I was like, man, I'm trying to connect these dots. I put my faith in Jesus, and now God is allowing me to, I'm working with these Jewish people. And I know we read about them, and I don't quite understand everything about them, but I'm like, what is it that they believe that I don't believe, or vice versa? And I never really quite figured it out. There was all these little pieces throughout my life that were just laying out there like this. But who are these Jewish people? Who are they? What do they believe? The one that I put my faith in and I'm trusting and I'm trying to walk with, he's Jewish, right? You know, Jesus is Jewish, right? You know, he come from a Jewish family, right? So let me just say this in opening. So if he come from a Jewish family, he probably spoke what? Who could tell me? He spoke a language. What is it? Hebrew. So if he spoke a Hebrew and he come from a Hebrew family, I guess he's got a Hebrew name. Let me ask you, should you know what his Hebrew name is? If we called to reach the world, there's only two groups of people in the world. There's Gentiles and Jews. So if we were to reach them, would you all agree we're supposed to share the gospel with them? Don't you think that it would be appropriate to know his Hebrew name? Without speaking it out loud, how many of you know what his Hebrew name is? There's a few. Yeshua. And so when speaking to a Jewish person, it's certainly appropriate to use his Hebrew name. So that's one of the things I had to learn. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. So when I'm talking about Jesus in the land, I'm using his name, Yeshua. That's who they recognize that name. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But our ministry, we now work with Jewish Awareness Ministries, which is simply to remind the church of some of these things that would better help us to be able to evangelize Jewish people, the do's and don'ts. Now, when I went to Israel those many years ago, that was in 2011, that when we went there, bear in mind, went to the churches for about 2 years, believing that this is what God's called us to do. And, you know, we would tell the church what we thought we were going to do. But, you know, I've learned in life, God's ways and man's ways, they're quite a bit different. You know, somebody had said that man makes plans and God laughs. That's what we've learned. And so if you knew what I was telling the churches, it wasn't anywhere remotely close to what I thought I'd be doing. I ended up, long story short, I ended up coaching American football to Orthodox Jews. Can you believe that? Here's a guy. Listen, I forgot to tell you, I'm from L.A., the real L.A. That's Lower Alabama, by the way. But before I get started, though, look, why don't I pray? Let me tell you a joke, and then we'll jump into that football scenario. Father, I need you. Lord, I just want to be a blessing to these good people. I know they're getting ready to go. Many are getting ready to go to Israel. And, Lord, it's interesting. You know, I remember some anxiety taking my children, four children and my wife, with 22 pieces of luggage. And didn't, honestly, you know, Lord, that I didn't even know where I was going to sleep when I got there that night. But, Lord, through faith, you say it's impossible to please you without it. Thank you that we can trust you enough. And I don't think I know that you're able to do what I don't understand. And so, Lord, meet with us this morning. We'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. For we pray these things in your name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Yeshua HaMashiach, say it, Yeshua HaMashiach. That simply means Jesus, the Messiah in Hebrew. Yeshua, the Messiah. Ha means the Mashiach, Messiah. So, there you go. So, but anyway, before I get going here, I know those of you that are getting ready to go to Israel soon. Is this turned on? Is it on? Was it on? Is it on now? Can you hear me? Okay, so this sounds so good, it sounds like Memorex or something, I don't know. But anyway, you all getting ready to go to Israel, I think there's a rather large group here in the church. I was reminded as I was thinking about that, that there was a family that went. It was the husband, the wife, and the mother-in-law. They all went to Israel and was enjoying themselves. But I got to remind you, there's some pretty steep hills that you'll go to, so you'll have to try to get yourself in a little bit of shape. So that this group, the mother-in-law and the husband and wife went, and unfortunately, the mother-in-law was walking up a steep hill there. Maybe it was walking up to Mount Zion or something like that, or up to the Mount of Olives or whatever. And unfortunately, the mother-in-law, as she was going up, she had a heart attack, and she passed away. And so, you know, so the coroner came and died, you know, obviously said that she's dead. And so a day or two later, they came back to the family and said, you know, you can have her buried here if you choose here in Jerusalem somewhere, or you can decide to take her back to America where y'all are from, whatever you choose to do. It's $500 if you decide to bury her here. Unfortunately, if you send her back, it'll be about $5,000 to $6,000 to send her back to America. And so the son-in-law thought, he said, let me think on that a little while. And I guess a day or so later, he went back to the people that was arranging what to do with his mother-in-law. And, you know, he obviously contemplated $500 versus $5,000 or $6,000. And he's like, he said, I think we're going to send her back real confident. We're just going to send her back to America. And they said, well, why would you do that? He said, well, you know, about 2,000 years ago, there was somebody buried here, and he rose from the dead, and we don't want to take that chance with my mother-in-law. That was bad, wasn't it? So, Acts chapter 4:20, I'll start this off. It says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And this is really, I guess we would say that our ministry to the Jewish people is like, I was very, I didn't know what I was doing. But Acts 4:20, you know, basically all I'm speaking is what I've seen that God has done in our life and how that he led us to Israel at that time and how that we saw God work. As I said, I went there, 22 pieces of luggage, didn't know where I was going to stay. And I had a friend that said there was a place that he knew about up near the Sea of Galilee in the town, which you'll visit, Migdal, the town of Mary Magdalene. You'll go there, one of the more prominent archaeological sites today, because they've been uncovering the synagogues
all around the Sea of Galilee, everywhere from Migdal to Capernaum to, Kersey and et cetera, et cetera. So you know Jesus preached it, I forget the exact number, but maybe it's 30-something synagogues that was around the synagogues, or around the Sea of Galilee. And so we ended up in Migdal, but the place that we were going to stay, there was no room in the inn, amen, there when we went there. But there was an overflow, and if you come back tonight, I'll show a few pictures. But we ended up in a Jewish family's home that had two apartments on each side. And so we ended up staying there a month, and I could go into all the details. But I was down in the old city about a month later, and I had my favorite ball team cap. So I think there's probably, I don't know, I would assume that there's Tar Heel fans in here, right? Some Tar Heels, and what's that other team? North Carolina State. There's no North Carolina State fans in here, whatever. I see one there. But I'm an Auburn fan, not an Alabama fan, by the way. So but, got any Roll Tiders in here? Don't. Okay, I see a Roll Tider. Anyway, so I was in the old city with my Auburn hat, and a guy hollered out, Roll Tide. That's a curse word, you know, in the holy city of God of Jerusalem. And long story, we started a conversation, and he shared with me that there was a group of Jews down at a local field that was without a coach, and God pricked my heart or said, you know, Alabama people, they don't know a whole lot, but we do know a little bit about football. And so I said, well, I'll go down there and show up. And I showed up, and I couldn't speak a lick of Hebrew, and it reminds me, all these Jewish names, like, if you spell them out, like, I'll just give you an example of one or two, but one guy's name, his name was Shaked. Shaked means nut in Hebrew. One guy's name is Naphtali, and then one guy's name is Avi, and all these Hebrew names, but when you write a Hebrew name out phonetically in English, like Shaked, S-H-A-K-E-D. You think about that, S-H-A-K-E-D. How would you say it? I'd say shacked, you know? And so all these Hebrew names, so first thing I did when I got down there, I had another English speaker that understood. I said, you know, I said, have these guys write their names out. That's the only thing I knew to do, but I'm trying to pronounce them without the Hebrew phonetic saying, okay? I didn't know Hebrew. I still don't know it that well, but I get by. And so I'm trying to pronounce all these guys. And they're like laughing. And so anyhow, long story short, I became their football coach. And so that's where it all, that became my undercover is, you know, a lot of people call me some Jewish people call me Rabbi Rusty. Some call me Pastor Rusty. Some of them call me Pastor Rusty, Rabbi Rusty, Coach Rusty. So I'm known, I carried a lot of hats in the tenure while being there. And if you come back tonight, you'll see a few of those photos of some of the football players that God allowed me to influence. And so, I'm on a rabbit trail here. But the Bible says in Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. Genesis 12:3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and all the families of the earth be blessed. I think what I wanted to do is, one of the things that I do when I speak, and I travel the world, and I don't think there's been a place in the world that I've been, and I've been wherever Jewish people is, everywhere from Poland. I've been to Poland numerous times. I've been to Auschwitz, Birkenau, Warsaw, and all the Holocaust sites. And I take Hebrew Bibles, and I often give it out to the Jewish people at the Holocaust sites. So what I mean by that is when I travel, I remind the churches that I speak in, that the Lord opens a door, that we have an obligation to the Jewish people. And I can say this, and it's true, that there's not a place that I've been that there's not been a Jewish population within at least an hour. And so I was like, well, what in the world? In Romans chapter 1:16, it talks about the statement, and I'll just paraphrase here, to the Jew first, and what does that mean to you and I as believers? And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to say this, just a little bit of history in regard to the Jewish people right here in Statesville, North Carolina area. You know, I'll just simply say that I believe that we have an obligation to reach the world. And I think there's no doubt. I know this church believes that. And I know that, I've seen the Jewish people, the missionaries that you support. But, you know, we have an obligation to share the gospel with them. And really the ministry is to say, how do we better do it? What are the things that we should do? And what are some of the things that we shouldn't do? And we'll discuss that. But I thought I would just share some of the real quick and just see if anybody is familiar. But the history of Jews in Statesville, North Carolina area. Statesville is how far from here? Are we in States? We're close. 5-10 miles? Oh, 20 miles? Well, there's Jewish people in the history there. The Wallace brothers. The Wallace brothers, they sold roots, herbs, and the original Erdell Museum's exhibit are about two of Statesville's most successful, best known during the golden era businessmen. The Wallace brothers, Isaac and David, arrived in Statesville right after the Civil War and began with selling wholesale stores in the town. And they sold roots and produce and herbs. And it was called the Botanical Depot. And then out of that, and I've got so much more here, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But I think what I would like to project to the churches and my message to the churches that we owe an obligation. This thing we call salvation, the Bible says in John 4:22, that says salvation of the Jews. In other words, the concept of being born again and saved and trusting the Messiah is a Jewish concept. The Bible says that in John 4:22. And so, you know, what I've tried to do is I'm thankful for my salvation. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful for that? And I believe that if I owe you something, I'm going to try to do my best to repay you what I feel like I owe you. And we owe the Jewish people a great debt. That Bible, the Bible that we hold in our hand, that Bible come from Jewish people that wrote that down, what God told them to write down. Amen? The oracles of God, the Bible talks about. But the history here in this area with the Jews have been great. There's a synagogue here. And I've been to all the places that I've been when I go to these places. And it doesn't matter if it's Thailand. It doesn't matter if it's Poland. It doesn't matter where I'm at in the world. It doesn't matter what country I've been in. I go to the synagogue. I've been to the synagogues in Greece. I've been to Thessalonica, Corinth, Philippi, and on. I could list, you know. And I went there with the sole purpose to get the Word of God in their hand, in their tongue, the Hebrew tongue. And might I say this, I do have a few Hebrew New Covenants out there. I have them in Russian Hebrew, English Hebrew, Spanish Hebrew. And, you know, I was in Ukraine just right when the war started. The Lord pricked my heart. I knew that there was a lot of Ukrainian Jews. If you look at the history of the Jewish people, many of the rabbinical leaders come out of, and I could go into the detail, Menachem Snerson. When you go to Israel, you'll see this Jewish man on the back of the stop signs and other signs, and he's got his hand like this. His name is Menachem Snerson. Anybody, I don't know if you know this, but you'll say, who is that guy they keep promoting? Or what's he's everywhere. He's on signs and billboards. His name is Snerson, Rabbi Snerson. He come from Ukraine. Let me go back to Ukraine. But God pricked my heart to go to Ukraine because I knew during the war that there would be people flooding the borders into Poland and the surrounding countries. And because of my connections in Poland and being there numerous times, I took two cases of Bibles in Russian and Hebrew because the Ukrainian people, they don't speak, most of them don't speak Ukrainian, they speak Russian. And probably one of the first times ever is many of these new covenants, the new covenant in Hebrew, we call it the New Testament, the new covenant, Hebrew word is Brit Hadashah. Brit Hadashah means new covenant. And so that was the first time that I ever had people, not did I give them out, they wanted them. The Jewish people wanted them. And so they say that there are no non-believers in the foxhole, right? And so when they was under persecution, you know, when I'm just thinking out loud, the Bible says that we're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And we see, because of the people of God, the people that became believers, those early believers. And by the way, let me just say this. Those early believers, that early church, book of Acts, right? Do you want to take a guess of how many of those people that we say in that book of Acts, the early church, you want to guess how many of those people were Jewish? Anybody, how many do you think they were? The early church? How about all of them? Is there anybody in here that's Jewish? Anybody Jewish? Is there a reason? Does the gospel work? Amen. So would you say that we have a little bit of disconnect in our Jewish roots? Would that be possible? And is there things that we can do? There'll be things that you'll learn when you go to the land of Israel that you never really thought of it. And when you go to a Jewish person, you say, I never thought of that. And that's what God was doing with me when I was at Hiles Anderson College, and I worked with the Jewish people in the condominium. I worked with the Jewish people, and I just didn't quite, I didn't get it. And God had to send me to Israel, and I still didn't get it until I yielded myself and I inserted myself in the most uncomfortable position that I put myself and my wife and my family in. And I've, you know, I'm an Alabama guy, all the way from Alabama to Israel, now coaching American football, not to just regular Jews, but Orthodox Jews with the locks, okay? And I'm communicating now with, there's not a sect of Judaism that I couldn't talk to you about. I've been in their homes. I've eaten with the rabbis. I've actually been under conviction in a rabbi's home because of the way I saw that they did some things. It's like, wow. And so what I'm saying to you is that if we're going to make a difference in the Jewish people's lives, we're going to have to involve ourselves in it. And by the way, let me make it real simple. We don't reach a world because we don't understand the world. And we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And listen, you're doing a wonderful job here, but there's, you know, by going, God's allowed me to see some things that I never quite saw before. But the Bible says in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Aren't you glad that it wasn't to the Jew only? Amen. You know, and so once again, back to that obligation. Let me just say this. There's just a few verses I'll read here. But first of all, there are no new truths. But may I say that there are some forgetting truths that we, not on purpose, but we forget about them. Jewish people need to hear the gospel. And maybe it's just as such a time as this that why I'm here today. I do believe in divine appointments, by the way. And I can testify to those appointments throughout our ministry. But just a few quick statements in regard to what we can do to better reach the Jewish people. Number one, warn them. Warn them. Listen, that's all we can do. And I can get here into all the mechanics of it, but at the end of the day, we as believers, we're not only to warn your neighbors, your friends, the people here in and around Statesville, we're to warn them. That's really what we're, you know, whether you're a soul, you know, praise the Lord for soul winners. But, you know, if you're not a soul winner, let me challenge you to be a soul warner, because there is a place called hell. But the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth," and the Bible says, "and give them warning from me." So there you go. We're commanded to the Jewish people. The Bible talks about us as the Jewish people call us goim. It's the plural form of the people of the nations. Goim. And the goies, so to speak. And the Bible says this in verse 18. It says, "And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not my warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand." And the Bible says, "And yet if thou warn the wicked and turn not him from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. And thou hast delivered thy soul." You know, as I think about this, you might ask the question, how many born-again believing Jews is there today? First of all, I'll say this. There's more Jewish people have trusted the Messiah in the last 70 years than the previous couple of thousand years prior to. It is, to my guesstimation, I've met at least 50 or 60 messianic pastors. What's a messianic pastor? That is a Jewish person that has now become a pastor of Jewish people. Now, I just got to be honest with you. I've met 50, and almost all of them, I asked them, as Brother Steve and I was talking about this the other day, I said, "Well, tell me about your salvation experience." And many people, even the Jewish people that are professing that they're following Jesus, but when you call them out on how they got saved, they don't have an answer. You should have an answer how you got saved. And so most of those 60 pastors, I don't know what percentage of them, that they still, let me say this, they still hold on to the law. In other words, they're counting on something that they can do to hold their righteousness. That's not all of them, but most of them. But you know that when we examine the churches of Revelation, we notice that all those churches were on different spiritual journeys at different spiritual times, okay? And so we got to be patient. We simply speak the truth in love. And, you know, let me say this. Many of those believers, I've had an opportunity. We would call it, got the assurance of their salvation. Really, I don't know if that's really a true statement. We've heard it. You're either saved or you're not saved, right? And so, you heard me say this. Everybody down south says that they're saved. But if you ask them, "Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die?" they say, "I don't know about that." So anyway, so what are we to do? We're to warn them. We're to warn our community. We're to warn our neighbors. We're to warn the Jewish people. And not only that, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says that we're to comfort them. When you go on this trip here in the near future, you need to know how to comfort them. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable unto Jerusalem and cry unto her. That's what the Bible says. Number three, so I said number one, warn them, comfort them, encourage them. Boy, I tell you what, a little bit of encouragement and comfort goes a long way, doesn't it? Encourage them. And I know my time's getting real slim here, but I've traveled this world and I've talked from people. It doesn't matter if it's Europe, Asia, the Middle East. When I get to, and I'll probably say more about this here in just a little bit, but when I get right down to it and I talk to people from all different cultural backgrounds, I find that I need to wipe away religion. I mean, Christianity, and let me just say that. You say, "Well, just listen to me." Christianity, about 95%+ in the world, not in America, you're able to decipher what flavor you are. You're a Baptist. You're an independent Baptist. You're a Bible believer. But when you get outside of the Bible Belt, even today in the world, you're looked at as a Catholic. I want my Catholic friends to be saved. And by the way, God is doing a work in the Catholic young people's lives that come from. And I remember as I'm witnessing throughout Poland, I've asked the young people, they say, We know the church doesn't have an answer, and what we really want is we want a relationship with God. And when I speak to people that are unchurched people today, whether I'm thinking of many people in Thailand that have transported there, and we talk to them, and I comfort them, I encourage them, I warn them, and they say, Brother, they say, Rusty, we appreciate you giving that time. He said that we're just sick of the institutionalism of the church. That's what I find to be true. And if I can wipe all that away and tell them I'm simply just trying to live what the Bible says and I'm trying to walk in His ways, it seems like it opens up. Listen, let me say this in closing. Praise the Lord for the church. Praise this Lord for what you represent. But let me encourage you that, and I don't believe that's true in this church as a whole, that your ministry, thank God you showed up this morning, thank God for your faithfulness, but your and my is outside this church. You take what you've been taught, and you make sure that you're applying it out here. There's people, listen, my greatest ministry, even when I was an assistant pastor, was not what I did here just inside the church. It was what God allowed me to. They were people that I ministered to that had no interest and never came to church. But if they ever needed somebody to pray for them beside their bed when they were sick or their loved one was sick, on their deathbed, they got a call. And that's really what I believe that real, true ministry is. It's taking what we learn here out to the highways and the byways. And listen, the Jewish people are the same way. People want to know how much you care more than they want to know how much we know. And so I think if we could just simply take that as we're to comfort them, encourage them, and warn them. And there's so much more to be said. But listen, we'll be at our table here. If we could answer any questions, I have something that's been printed for you. I think the preacher might mention that, but it's just a little map for those of you that might want it at some point. But we have prayer cards. I also have these. It's frequently asked questions by Jewish people. I only have a few of them, so take it if you're interested in the type of questions. And one, and I'll close. How do we as Christians, they think that we're pagan because we say we worship three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can't really explain that, can we? There's no theological way to do that. It's just what we've been taught, we believe. But the Hebrew word in the Bible says, in the beginning, God. The word in Hebrew is the word Elohim. It's one God, but it's showing plurality. These are types of questions that you might be stumped when a pastor or a Jewish person said, yeah, you Christians, you believe in three gods. That's just one of the many, many, many. So let's pray together. Father, I pray that you took what's been said. Lord, I pray that you'd use it. Lord, help us to love those that are around us. Help us to love those especially that are unchurched. And Lord, help us to make a difference in our community like you did. And Lord, thank you for a good church like Calvary Baptist Church. I pray that you'd bless everything that goes on the rest of the day, bless the preaching. And Lord, everything that's said and done, we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.